Men, it's time to make friendship a priority in your life. It is time to get clarity on what a true spiritual friend is. And we are here to help you do just that. In this season of the Cross Training Ministries podcast, Joe Barnard and myself, Evan McGinty, are going to guide you to discover 10 marks of a spiritual friend. We're going to help you get on a path of spiritual growth with a band of brothers. Let's get started. All right, Joe, let's talk about spiritual friendship again. Sound good?
Sounds great. Yeah.
I actually, earlier this week, listened to someone talking about friendship, and I heard them kind of put it in a way that sounded a little funny to me and rang true somewhat. They said, you know, friendship isn't really one of these things that people talk about often. It's not a popular topic of conversation. And they compared it to, you know, when you go to grocery stores and you are at the checkout line, and right next to you at the checkout line, there's all these magazines, right? Well, you've never seen one of those magazine covers say, guess what? So-and-so is now friends with so-and-so. Or, you know, you'd never believe what happened to so-and-so's friendships. You know, that doesn't make the magazine covers. Nobody's really interested in picking up that magazine for whatever reason. And I don't know, it made me think about what we're doing here. I mean, here we are, we're going to take time with our first season of a podcast and talk about friendship, something that doesn't make the magazine racks. But here's my argument to that, and I want to see if you agree with this. I think what we're doing is more like standing at that checkout line and looking next to you and seeing the batteries. You know, they keep the batteries or the Advil or whatever right there. Why do they keep that there? Because people need it. It's useful. People have to grab something useful on their way out. So what I'm seeing in these conversations about friendship is guys hopefully grabbing something that is useful to them as they move forward in journeying to train in spiritual fitness. I think that if guys aren't talking to their friends about their friendship, then they're not going to get much of anywhere. So I don't know. What do you think? We're trying to be the battery next to the checkout line, not the magazine that's talking about all the crazy stuff.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. I think, This is a topic men know, not just that they need friends, they long and wish they had better friends. I mean, if you think of the guy at the end of his life who has the big house, the nice car, country club membership, but no friends, nobody wants to be that guy.
Yeah.
You think of a guy who has a great group of friends and, you know, we envy that. But we also know that the kind of technological modern world we live in, it just doesn't lend itself to relationships in general. And so a lot of us were starved of friendship, and that's just a general problem. But then you put it in the spiritual realm, and we need friends for a whole different set of reasons. You know, we're talking about, we got sin to deal with. We've got Satan outside of us. We've got all this temptation. We've got, you know, deep pain from our past and, you know, scars from life. And it's just too dangerous of a journey to take by yourself. And so, like you said, it's not a topic that the world is ever going to give us a lot of wisdom regarding. And so unless we go out and find it, we're just going to have this nagging desire for something that never just naturally comes into our life, and we'll be impoverished because of it. So I think, you know, to start with this, to realize, you know, we've got to clarify what are the type of friendships we're after. Like, we don't know what those are. We won't be able to pursue them. And then once we can begin to see it, then we can begin to ask the question, okay, how do we build these relationships? And that's what this season's about. How do you actually go out as a guy and find the kind of comrades you need to become a man of God?
Yes, exactly. I think that it's one of these topics that's not flashy, especially when you start talking to your friends. It's not, hey, who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl this year? Or, you know, who do you think is making the best craft beer right now? You know, these are the magazine rack topics. But I do believe that it's the most useful. It's one of the most useful conversations you can have. It's like that pack of batteries that you're actually going to go home and that's going to be put to use for a period of time. And so talking to your friends about your friendship may not be the flashy topic of conversation, but man, it can be a game changer for your spiritual life and for yourself just moving forward.
Well, so, I think, you know, to kind of add to that as well, and not trying to be critical of churches in general, but the tendency is if you join a church, you know, you're in a large group, you're in a small group, but you still don't get the friends that you need. And so And so it's another reason that unless as a man, you're going to go out and pursue these things, mm-hmm. even in a church context, more than likely, nobody's going to really put you in a band of brothers, just kind of organizationally. So it's like, if you want this, men, you're going to have to go and find this. And
that's right. You guys just yeah, no, there's definitely a challenge to it, but worth stepping into. So let's turn the conversation now and look at, for today, a specific problem that men are struggling with, and that I think bleeds into our friendships and what we do with and for one another. And that's specifically hypocrisy. I mean, I don't deal with this, Joe, but do you deal with hypocrisy? Right. Is that something you...
Yeah, you know, I think it's an interesting... It's interesting concept, hypocrisy. It's something Jesus talks about. He's constantly talking about the hypocrites. And what's interesting about, you know, this word hypocrite is it goes back to an old Greek word that referred to actors who used to wear masks. Hmm. And so really the idea of a hypocrite, as Jesus is describing it, is somebody who goes around wearing a mask. Yeah. And I think we got to make this complicated, because there's a simplistic kind of Sunday school answer that we've got to push off the table. So some people think it's always bad to wear a mask. And the truth is, most of the time in the world, you have to wear a mask. I mean, you walk into your job on a Monday, you're feeling terrible about life. You just had a fight with your wife. You know, you're exhausted because you were trucking your kids around to a baseball tournament on Saturday and Sunday. If you don't put that mask on, you're going to be a jerk. And not everybody wants to hear about all of your problems. So in a lot of life, we're required to go around hiding our true feelings. Mm. The problem is we get so good at that we just leave the mask on all the time and we never take it off. And that's when it gets really destructive. That kind of hypocrisy when it gets ingrained.
Yeah. I think that if you were to put on a physical mask right now and walk around, you know, it would be okay. You'd be maybe a little uncomfortable, but somewhat comfortable for a little while, but I guarantee you, you're not sleeping in that thing. Like, right. Have you ever slept in a Batman mask or something? Like, that's super uncomfortable, but that's the position we put ourselves in a lot of times, is hypocrisy becomes a part of who we are and a part of, we sleep in it. Like, that's how dangerous it becomes, is it's not just, hey, I'm protecting myself to be able to operate in society. But no, like, I am fully immersed in this mask and I don't even know what's under this mask anymore. And I'm definitely not letting anybody else know what's under this mask.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, religion of any type feeds this mentality, or it can, because I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, you know, we're called to live a particular way, you know, as we're called to pursue, you know, holiness and purity and honesty and patience. And the truth is, you know, often that's not actually what's in our heart. And so what do you do when your heart's filled with lust, but you're called, you know, to be upright? You hide the porn problem and you put the mask on.
Yeah.
Or if you're really arguing and angry and yelling at your wife and kids, but you're supposed to be the patient, respectable dad at church, again, you put it on. And so the very circumstances of the gospel, which you would think would, you know, take the mask off and reveal more often, you know, religion causes us to just keep the mask on. Like you said, we can go to sleep with it. I mean, we just don't even let our wives or our children or, you know, anybody know what's going on inside our hearts. And that's deadly. Yeah.
And I will say too, Joe, I kind of like seeing you with your mask on. I'm a little uncomfortable, you know, if you start revealing some of who you really are. It's a lot easier to be your friend if you just kind of pretend that everything's okay, right? That's a lot more comfortable place for me to be. So I think that's part of the problem too with some of this is, man, sometimes people don't even really care what you truly look like behind your mask, because it's a lot more comfortable to just pretend everything's okay. And so that's where a lot of friendships don't help. They actually hurt. They don't care who you truly are, what you're truly struggling with, what's truly going on. They don't want you to reveal your mask. They don't, they want to live in your hypocrisy with you. They're joining in. This is a good world to live in. It is. Look, it's more comfortable to be face to face with you when I don't have to deal with your problems. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think guys, they need to know there are different types of friendships. Mm. So in the workplace, the people you call your friends, actually it's a friendship based on you know, efficiency. You're there to get projects done. And so you start pulling that mask off in front of a coworker, they're thinking, oh man, this is pulling us away from what we need to get done. An obstacle. But it's the same if you're playing golf and it's really just a friendship based on pleasure. You're there because you both like to play golf and have a beer or whatever else. You start pulling that mask off. That's not why that guy's in the golf cart with you.
And all he's not inviting you to play golf anymore.
No. Yeah. He's there to hear you crack jokes and talk about, you know, the national championship. So we've just got to realize when we talk about friends, there's not just one type. It's like you go to the grocery store and there's multiple types of a product, and same with friends. And so what kind do we have in our life? Are they the right kind that we need as Christian men?
Yeah. So then let's get into it. What we're proposing as one of these characteristics of a spiritual friend. Let's give some definition to the difference between just your average friendship or all the different types of friendships there may be, and a characteristic of a spiritual friend. And so today we're saying a spiritual friend is a lie detective. What do we mean by that, Joe? They're a lie detective.
Yeah. So, that sounds a little bit like lie detector. But I think that's the image we want to avoid, because friendship wouldn't work if you feel like you were being interrogated. That's just a cold setting to imagine. But you think of a detective is somebody who, they smell smoke if there's a fire. They're looking for clues. And so this is somebody who, if he begins to see some evidence of, that inconsistency, when there's something in the heart that, again, is a danger to you as an individual, rather than to just turn the eyes and ignore it, they're going to do that work of a detective, And what do detectives, they're going to start asking questions. They're going to be drawn closer, try to follow the trail, of course, in the friendship context, because they want to help you. That's the kind of friend we're describing.
Yeah. And they know the right questions to ask in the right scenario, as a good investigator would. Some of this comes down to just being friends in general, knowing each other well and knowing, man, what are the typical masks this guy puts on? Let me investigate some of that. I know he's struggled with X in the past. Let me investigate. I'm seeing some signs of such around. And I think that it can be scary to think about friendships in that sense, because who wants an investigator? Who wants someone, trying to investigate their lies? But I think that there is a lot of freedom that comes with this. If a lie detective is revealing truth, then what it's going to do to the person who's being, a detective is they're going to be then living in truth, have the truth revealed. And what we all know, look, let me just say what we all feel. Faking it is exhausting, right? Like that's ultimately a lot of this. Man, faking it is really, really exhausting. And none of us want to live in that exhaustion of faking it. So we really have to see these friendships as someone who's helping you, coming alongside of you, because you're exhausted from faking it. And so they're going to investigate a little bit to help you see, hey, man, live in the light, in the light, get out of that, live in the light and stop being so exhausted by faking it, because you're not making it anywhere right now.
Yeah. And I think with that exhaustion, wearing a mask also typically produces shame, because why are you wearing a mask? Often it's because you don't measure up to what you think you should measure up to.
Yeah.
And so, again, whether it's the guy who's got the anger problem, and I mean, he looks good, at church, he's a loving, husband, but at home, honestly, he's a terror to live with. Deep beneath all of that, if he's aware at all, self-aware of this problem, he's going to feel like a hypocrite. He's going to feel ashamed of the man that he really is, that he sees in the mirror. And, shame is always, it's a pain. And if you have a deep pain, if you don't heal it, you got to medicate, you got to in some way try to distract yourself from it. And that's just where this is, it's an aching wound that has to be dealt with. So, yeah. So although it's a little bit scary, somebody drawing in and seeing more of you, the scarier place to be is just to have, an infected wound within your heart that isn't.
Yes. So help some guys get there, Joe, because this is kind of, all right, it sounds good in theory to have this type of friendships. And you've already talked about how friendships come in different styles and there are different types of friends. And we've got to first be willing to admit that. I think that's a good first step for guys to come to. But so talk about just how to arrive at having a friendship that is a lie detective. Where do you start? Where do you even begin to get there?
Yeah. And I think, you know, this is going to be a theme of every episode in this season. This idea that, you know, all friendship, this is something C.S. Lewis describes, that all friendship is based on a sense of a journey. You have to be going somewhere together in order to be friends. And, you know, that could just be a journey of golf and, again, improving your handicap or drinking beer at a local bar. But if we're talking about spiritual friends, what makes these friends special is, you know, we're headed to the throne of God together. Yes. We're headed toward holiness together. And so we want to grow into our full potential in Christ. And it's that context where all of a sudden, this is not just about having a good time. It's not just about a work project, but it's about us growing into the kind of men that we can be in Christ. Once it's set in those terms, you know, you can begin to have conversations, and you can also begin to support one another because it's very much like being on a path, you know, climbing up a mountain. Yes. And having that hand that, okay, you're starting to slip, I got to reach down and pull you up. And that's the kind of model that we need to be thinking of with this type of friendship.
Yeah, I think where I have failed at this in the past personally is I can see back in my life where I've separated some friendships into different categories that were ultimately unhealthy. So I looked at some friendships kind of like an IRS auditor. I wanted these IRS auditor friends that were all accountability, but no relationship really, right? That's what an auditor is. They're coming in to hold you accountable, but there's really no relationship there. But then I also carried friends of the other sort, and that was those what I would call a Vegas buddy. You know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, that whole bit. And those are relationships where it's all relationship and no accountability. Right. And you got no other side. So I've kind of seen myself go on either end of those and also at the same time hold both of those type of friendships in my life. And where I've kind of landed is seeing the need to reject both ultimately and come to the sense of saying, no, what I really want is a friend who has a shared identity in Christ, who is pursuing growth and godliness. And that's where, and will accountability come with that? Well, of course, if we're sharing that identity and sharing that journey, there better be accountability along the way, or we're not going to get there. And will there be relationship? Well, of course, because we're going together. So you need the mix of the two in a healthy way. And I think what joins those is that shared identity, that shared journey along the same path.
Yeah. I think that's right. And, you know, with the relationship, it's easier to have the accountability.
Yes. Yes.
So yeah, you've got to have that. And that's where I think, you know, guys who are thinking about how maybe you've got some friends, you're thinking of their names, you know, they love Jesus. Maybe even you meet periodically at a Starbucks, but it feels a little bit stuck. You can answer questions on like a book study, but you don't sense that there's this kind of lie detective role. And so how do you go from that place where you're Christians together to where all of a sudden you're like, you know, pilgrims on a journey together? And this is where I think often when you can blend discipleship and friendship with, I'm just going to use, for lack of a better term, kind of primal experiences. You know, there are certain things that I don't know why, but they just enable men to open up. And so, you know, this is the sort of stuff like, you know, fire, food, sweat, stars. It's so hard to say, talk about the meaning of life with a man, unless you both sit out and you're staring at the stars. And all of a sudden, you know, you can ask questions that you could never ask. And it's like God just provides the setting.
That's so true. Yeah.
You know, or, you know, if you've just, big storms come through, you got a couple of chainsaws, you've been clearing a whole, you know, front yard for somebody. You're sitting back having a glass of, you know, ice water or something. And all of a sudden, again, you can, you know, you sweat together and you feel closer and, you know, that begins to open up some doors. And so, you know, creating some environments where it's not just Starbucks, that kind of third space, where you're in an actual space that lends itself to seeing someone begin to take that mask off. I think that's what we've got to add into our friendships and discipleship.
Oh yeah, you're speaking my love language here, Joe. I mean, this is something I love to do. You know that I take a trip every year with a group of friends out to the mountains. This is one of the things I love to do, and it has, man, if I could say anything that would encourage guys to find these kind of friendships, this was a huge help for me. We drive 8 hours in the car together to go to the mountains. We do a hard hike with one another where we're physically exhausted. We see the stars. We see the beauty from the mountaintops. We get all of these experiences. Then we drive in a long car ride home. And the testimony you'll hear from each of us is our friendships have changed and our personal lives have changed by simply exposing ourselves to those elements. I think that's part of it, is putting yourself in a place where you are exposed to those primal experiences, because you know that when you do that, like you said, it, for some reason, it does. It draws the heart to these bigger questions. It draws and pulls us in as men to face some of those deeper questions or struggles or things. So conversations that I've had with my friends just through hiking, I know that I've had certain conversations that would never have happened sitting in Starbucks. It's just not going to happen. So yeah, I think finding some way to find these primal experiences is huge for the life of guys as a simple way to start developing these type of friendships. What are you exposing yourselves to as friends? That's a great question to ask. Is, man, I don't have these kind of friendships. Okay, well, what are you exposing yourselves to? All you're doing is meeting at Starbucks? If so, look, there's nothing wrong with that. That's, you can grow together there. But if that's where you're limiting it, or if you're limiting it to a golf course, you know, whatever it is, then you're only going to be able to go so far. Find some ways to mix it up. Make a fire together. Go out on a walk together. Do things that friends do. Yeah. Journey together. Yeah.
And I think that's where, you know, something that was implicit in what you said, that the way that quantity time leads to quality time, you know, it's 3 hours into a hike that all of a sudden the moment emerges where you have that conversation. But if you've only got an hour, because you meet for an hour before work, you know, to do a Bible study, that's not enough time often to actually crack open things. And so, you know, if you get space, and then and we're going to come back to this again week after week, but if you ask good questions, yes. You know, so that, you know, you actually ask somebody, how's your marriage? Mm-hmm. They might keep the mask on, but they might all of a sudden drop it. And so having relationships where you get accustomed to ask good questions, that's part of how these friendships develop as well.
That's great. Yeah. I think just to kind of wrap this up, I have found as well that one of the best ways to build in a lie detective in my life and to start building these type of friendships was through that program CT12 that we offer. That is, we're setting guys up to create a shared rule of life together. So we're aiming for getting guys on a journey, journey with one another, with shared rules to live by. And I can't, you know, speak more highly than just to say that has changed a lot of my friendships towards these kind of questions. We are now the kind of guys that ask lie detective questions for one another. That's what we're aiming for. So guys, if you're out there and you haven't yet been through CT12, please reach out to us. I'll leave a link in the show notes where you can get involved in that. I'd love to talk with you more about what it would look like for you and your friends to begin this journey together, creating a shared rule of life, creating a journey of into the presence of God. This is what we want for guys. We're here to train men in spiritual fitness. And we believe that through some of these resources we have, we can get you there. So thank you for joining us for this week's podcast. We look forward to talking again next week more about spiritual friendship. Thank you for taking time to listen in to this conversation. I hope that we have provided some clarity for what spiritual friendship can be. But now, it's your turn. If you don't have a friend who is willing to investigate when he thinks you're being a hypocrite, now is the time to find one. Tell your friends, let's go on a journey together to the very presence of God and leave our masks behind. Also, if you have a group of friends and you're looking for ways to challenge one another to grow spiritually, please visit our website, xtrainingministries.com. The link is in the show notes.
We're working hard to carve out a pathway for groups of men to train in spiritual fitness. We would love to have you and your friends join in with us. If you haven't already, subscribe to this podcast, and next week, you'll get to hear Joe and I talk about yet another mark of a spiritual friend.